This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Somebody mashed up the Wanna Fanta song with that Vanga Boys song they used for Six Flags, you'd have the most infectious song ever made. Pretty sure somebody could do that. Also,
the Vanga Boys want a Fanta. You gotta give it some. If you don't give it to us, we're gonna hit you with a bus.
And then the old guy just like dancing with Fanta everywhere.
Six Flags. More right. Flags. More fun. Fanta.
The year is 2015. The world is once again engulfed in darkness. It has been 100 years since the last appearance of the Castle of Fanfiction, and as the full moon rises over this accursed land, a vast silhouette of towers and spires materializes, its form spreading to the far horizon. Every harbinger of good begins to feel empty inside, while the forces of evil grow ever more in strength. The Castle of Fanfiction, a sprawling mass of stone housing the worst horrors mankind can imagine and beyond. For every time the castle has appeared, the Nighthorse clan has also come forward to send it back to the void. Within these walls, the powers of the light will challenge Hell's greatest creations. Will our brave warriors, Valerie, Logan, David, and Steve-O, hold the candle of humanity aloft after the battle? Or will the flame be snuffed out by the terrors within? The only sure thing about this encounter is that it is a Friday. Friday night fan fiction.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
The suggested square on the bingo card.
But circle gets the square.
Circle can go fuck himself.
The circle's normally...
He's meant for that.
What? Yeah, that's what holes are for. Anyway.
That's probably not a good way to think about holes.
I don't know. I mean, the holes in airplanes look pretty fuckable to me. Styrofoam holes and wood chip holes. Actually, scratch that last one. I've got a splintered dick before. It's not
what
fun.
What wood chip holes?
Like, you, when you're drilling through wood and you get wood chips?
Those aren't wood chips. Those are wood shavings.
I don't know. I mean, for me, it could be shaved or not shaved. I'm not super particular here.
Either way, you're going to get yourself some splinter dick.
Yeah, splinter dick is a thing. There you go. Episode title, 10 seconds in.
Yes.
Splinter dick! Oh, great. Somebody's already given birth to a Pepsi can in the chat.
What?
This is Friday Night Fan Fiction, the home of the Splinter Dick. The one and not only original home of the Splinter Dick, and all imitation Splinter Dicks are not good enough. My normal hosts are here, Logan and Cleaning the Kitchen.
As he should.
Not, and he's not referring to his wife. I'm right here.
No, that would have been confusing.
I don't know. I think David and I could get common law married in at least two states.
I'm pretty sure gay marriage is allowed in more than two states.
No. I didn't say gay marriage. I said common
law. Sorry, you can't tie me down.
Why can't I tie you? David, you asked me specifically to tie you down the other day with that rope and the gag and the cuffs.
Yeah, that's a different tie down once before. He doesn't want it again.
That's a different kind of tied down, Steve.
So you need to clarify for me which kind of tied down it is. And
can we just fucking read this stupid thing?
No, not at all. I'm still horrified at this Pepsi can. Also, Val is here as our referee, and our guests today are Manny and Wolfboy. Welcome back, gentlemen and gentlemen.
Hello.
I can't stop looking at Pepsi.
Yeah, it's the thing. We're gonna
pronounce Pepsi.
We are gonna continue reading. Is it pretending? Yada yada yada. We're at page 37, and oh geez, now there's Pepsi Man
jagging off.
I do want to see that. Oh, that's great.
I am gonna go first today. Just gonna steamroll right into this instead of falling deeper and deeper into this consumerist pornography that's going on.
Toot, toot.
I don't know about you, but I got a sudden urge for Pepsi.
Pepsi.
I don't drink sodas.
Manny, don't you want to Fanta?
Fanta baby.
Fanta baby. Give me your orange goo or blue.
I
don't discriminate against you, Fanta baby.
If somebody mashed up the Wanna Fanta song with that Vanga Boys song they used for Six Flags, you'd have the most infectious song ever made. Pretty sure somebody could do that. Also,
the Vanga Boys want a Fanta. You gotta give it if you don't give it to us, we're gonna hit you with a bus.
And then the old guy is just like dancing with Fanta everywhere.
Six Flags.
All more right. Flags.
More fun. Fanta.
No, right. More friends, more Fanta.
More friends, more Fanta.
Six I'm going to run you over with a bus.
Now, see, do they fill the wave pool with Fanta?
Yes, that's implied.
I've minimized the chat because I can't look anymore.
You could always just turn off the auto display of images.
Never.
No, it's more like it can only get so hard.
That's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Now he's afraid of his penis. He can't.
I'm not afraid of my penis. I am unaroused by other penises. Get it right.
No.
Yes.
No. Fear is the word I would use.
It's not fear. Logan, I'm not afraid of dicks. I'm just not turned on by dicks. There's a difference.
Of other dicks. He's jealous of other dicks.
So if Steve is afraid of other dicks, does that mean like his smoke monster from James and the Giant Pete's is instead of a rhino, it's a dick?
Yes.
All right. I read now?
It is, in fact, his own dick.
Can I please read?
There it is, all circumcised.
Hold on a second.
Brooklyn Centipede is like, yeah, kid, you did real good.
Okay. Can we resume here? Resume here!
Yes, in just a second, let me finish.
One,
I said,
two.
Moment, yeah. Fucking moment, okay? Give me a moment.
You did it, guys.
Give me a moment.
You're killing it!
All right, is that moment. Better for everybody?
Wait. Give him a moment.
Oh, now they're posting X videos. Fucking.
Wait. Give him a moment.
Ben rolls his eyes, but then he suddenly grins with an idea. Turning towards Steve, he proposes, "All right, fine. I'll tell you what. If you can guess my first name right, I'll let you pick first." Ben, Steve says, narrowing his eyes and giving him a weird look. "No, I mean my full first name." Steve gives Bucky that same weird look and then answers, like it's the most obvious thing in the world. Benjamin. Ben grins and looks quickly to the TV. Wrong! Bentley! Ha! His thumbs
like
move
the car.
As he glides his cursor over each character in the roster, deciding who to pick. Bucky laughs even harder at how surprised Steve looks when he realizes how easily duped he just was. Before Steve holds up a hand and says, "No, wait, hold on. Okay, count or bet. You willing to take it?" Ben hesitates. Whoa.
But, like, his name isn't Bentley. It's James. It's James Bookman Barnes.
So you're saying the author got their already wrong story even wronger.
Yeah!
Wrongerer.
I'm not opposed to this, I guess?
Of course you're not, because that's the actual real canonicity.
Canonicity.
I don't think we're talking about the same character.
Doesn't matter.
Ben hesitates before suspiciously asking, "What is it?" "You guess my full first name, and I'll let you pick for it. No more complaints from me."
Steven, obviously,
Ben says. Steve makes a loud buzzing sound and is now the one trying to race to pick his character. Wrong! It's Stefano.
What?
What?
Wait,
what?
Alter ego from Family Matters?
It's Stefano.
Oh my god, David, really?
What? Yeah,
son of a bitch!
You failed! Jesus Christ!
Steve-O! It's the Family Matters thing! It's the Family Matters thing that totally threw me off!
Uh-huh.
Everywhere you look, everywhere.
Wrong song!
Your name is not Stefano, Steve, Bucky groans. Let the kid pick first. You're acting like you're five.
Ha! Ben adds teasingly.
It's on you. I'm 5 inches from the ground, if you know what I mean.
No, fuck. Where was I? Damn it, Dave, you distracted me.
Ha!
That's right. That's what you get.
Son of a bitch.
Being afraid of smoke penises and whatnot.
Smoke penises? What?
Smoke penises.
Why not?
Smoke peen every day.
No.
Smoke wins.
Dave, I think you forgot about Dre.
I did forget about Dre. You're right. He's the one and only D-O-double-G Snoop Dogg, rhyming with the D-R-E Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, Snoop Dogg. Ha! Ben adds teasingly, doing exactly that and actually picking his avatar while Steve gives Bucky a hilariously indignant look. Seriously, Buck, my side just once.
Earn it, lover boy.
Bucky retaliates, adding insult to injury by swooping in and selecting his character while Steve's distracted.
I was going to say, and also referencing a really crummy 80s band.
Yeah. Steve gives him what he probably hopes is his most threatening glare. But it's hardly terrifying when there's a little smile on his lips. Oh, like, yo, mama.
And a happy little smile right there.
There's an extra smile within the lips.
Oh, you're on now, Steve warns him. Just you wait. It turns out that Steve gets really into Mario Kart. Like, a lot. About as much as Ben. They all play pretty aggressively, shouting and cursing each other during every round. Steve sometimes plays dirty, too.
Beep boop.
Why did he have to use the word snatch?
Because that's the best word ever.
At least it's used properly, and it's not like to name him like twat.
Will snatch his hand out and knock Bucky's controller out of his grip, or mash random buttons with his palm. Bucky just keeps trying to yank it back, yelling, "Dave, can you please read this line?"
I guess.
You don't even know where we are, do you?
Have a clue. I sure could if I had a link to the thing. Okay, it's there it is. It took some time to load, Steve, okay? Fuck you, Steve. Stop.
No, say it like we're playing games on the stream team.
Oh, fuck you, Steve. Stop.
Thank you. That's all I needed to hear. Steve just keeps laughing and shouting back, "There are no friendships when playing Mario Kart. Take that, asshole." Before knocking one of them off the track. Steve's actually really good at the game and winds up winning more levels than either of the other two. Even though it's sort of annoying here and there, Mario Kart really does bring out the worst in people, both in making you a poor winner as well as a sore loser.
Why is that italicized?
I don't know.
Because it's on the side.
Ben's having a great time. And Bucky is too. He also never seen a Steve.
He's also.
Damn it. Ben's having a great time and Bucky is too. He's also never seen Steve act like this, which says a lot since Steve's the goofiest guy he knows. It makes Bucky want to kiss him as much as it makes him want to punch him in the back of the head.
For a moment, I thought you were gonna turn Jewish mom on us.
Oh, hell no. No, I'm saving that for later.
You all know.
All right, Manny, you're up.
Who's in?
Got it. You're a horrible boyfriend. Bucky jokes distractingly. We focus on their current race. Hey, all spirit and love and war and video games, baby. Steve replies before cutting himself off, jerking his controller out to the side as he thumbs.
Cutting his dick off.
Whoa. Yeah. His thumbs make quick work over the buttons. Steve calling him baby only almost throws Bucky off, nearly crashing baby on his own accord.
Baby.
Gross. Guys, I'm still sitting right here, Ben reminds them. Either get a room or knock off the cutesy stuff. We know what's not going to be cutesy, Bucky says. When I do this, he tries to let Steve's avatar get nice and close behind him before dropping a banana peel in his pie. But Steve's reflexes are almost inhumanly fast. He just beelines around it and then shouts, "Ha! You're not even giving me a chance," Bucky mumbles. "Yes, I am." God, this is the best fanfiction about Mario Kart ever. Steve insists. He glances over and gives Bucky one of the most warm, precious smiles. The ones that especially makes Bucky have to stop himself from gulping, from questioning how much of this is an act, which is none of it now, I guess. I mean, we're committed to this, right, guys?
Yeah, totally.
Are we committed to this narrative?
Yes.
No.
Yes!
This is the fanfiction we needed. You're just really bad at this game, Steve then says sweetly. Aww.
He promptly hurls a spiked turtle shell at Bucky's cart, making him spin right off the track.
You don't hurl spiked turtle shells at people's cart. You just throw them and they do the thing.
Yeah, yeah. They've got like magical douchebag-seeking powers.
You like being first place?
You guys
place?
Are getting Hi. Caught up in the specifics here. I don't think we're going to make it out alive.
I don't want to.
In the aftermath,
Bucky can't remember what exactly. Bucky can't remember what exactly it is he dreams about that night. All he knows is that it gets him moaning and stressed. And Steve by his side.
He just about jumps out of his skin when a soft repetition of Bucky
eventually is enough to rip him off of his nightmare. Steve's sitting on the edge of his bed, face concerned, but Bucky doesn't register that in his half-awake state, big hands are on his shoulders.
Oh.
But Bucky doesn't feel those either. Gasping, the first thing he does when his eyes open is bolt up with a sitting position, and in doing so, straight into Steve's arms. They immediately wrap around him. Bucky realizes that he's shaking and still trying to catch his breath. When are you Renata's? Let go of it. What is with this like weird like italicized like soap opera stuff? Like I don't understand.
It's like it is like a soap dialogue. Opera. Yeah, it is like.
Yeah.
When had he run out of breath? And he's clutching onto Steve too. He's even acknowledged that he's instinctually done that until he feels the hard muscles across the expanse of Steve's bare back beneath his fingertips.
I'm just glad we haven't reverted to the whole Steve-O thing again this week.
Steve-O's whispering next to his ear. You reminded me. What if you reminded
me? You shall receive.
Steve-O's whispering next to his ear.
The blonde's face. Bucky also realizes his presence, the hair on the side of his head. He's hugging Bucky to him, soothingly stroking light lines back and forth along Bucky's back with one hand. Bucky's glad he's already shivering from the dream because it completely masked the little pleasurable tremors that passed through him. Stroking. Every day. That passed through him when his body's actually able to register how fucking good it feels with Steve-O doing that. Shh, you're okay, Buck. Just having a nightmare. We all have him. Steve-O's still whispering protectively. You're right. I'm right here. It's okay, baby. I got you. Bucky's heart slams against his ribcage like, wham! Bam! Wham! Wham! He's sure of it. Does Steve-O even realize he just called Bucky B again? Except there's no one around this time. No one to prove nothing to. Probably just a little too used to the game without having to play all day. Steve-O is probably half asleep himself. The lines are a little blurred from Latin. Dang it.
Almost done. You can do it.
It's more amaretto. The lines are lit.
Oh man, one on whiskey, another on amaretto.
It's amaretto sweet. I love it. It's like baby candy for adults.
Like baby candy for adults.
Yeah. Yes, I didn't question it.
Steve-O's probably half asleep himself. The lines are a little blurred for him right now. That's what Bucky tells himself. Where did we go to the dream sequence? We were at Mario Kart, and then all of a sudden went to like Nightmare Fuel.
Logan.
Damn it.
Can't run away from this.
Still, he can't bring himself to let go or move away. He has.
But why did we stop? What happened to the train?
Give me a sec.
The brakes were here.
Hold on a sec. Okay.
Where?
I had to check something.
Okay.
Steve smells wonderful. He always smells so wonderful.
Oh.
When he opens his eyes, he can glance down and see the canvas that is his chest? His collarbone? Bucky would only have to tilt his chin up the tiniest bit to brush his lips against the skin and taste it with his tongue.
More intimate.
On the song.
No.
Please.
Just as intimate as I get. This gets the ladies moist.
You can't go down like a half an octave?
I can go down many octaves.
All right, a little bit above subterranean.
But I like Frylock, though.
How is this?
That's fine.
This is good. He exhales loudly through his nose and forces that eye to shut, driving away the urge. I'm sorry! He mumbles, voice a bit strained. I'm sorry. Stop that right now.
Who would enjoy the story too much?
Yes.
No,
Steve is the girl in the relationship.
Okay. Steve cards his fingers. What's that? What is that? Whatever.
Apparently.
Oh, it's the Mr. Burns accent. Okay.
Through the hair at the back of Bucky's head and holds him there, hugging him closer. His voice sounds slightly muffled, like he's turned his lips even more against the side of Bucky's head.
Did I wake Bucky, were you?
Hosanna, woo na, Wookie nipple Bucky.
Fwoosh!
Fwoosh! Yeah, you kept shifting a lot, and then your breath got too quick. Steve murmurs back. Second, I heard you start making these little pained noises. I was trying to wake you up. Didn't take long after that. He pulls back, reluctantly. Bucky does, too. He glances up at Steve, feeling tired and miserable in that way you sometimes get after a night terror, when you're still feeling the effects of it. You remember what it was about? Steve asks. Bucky realizes his friend got one hand resting over top of his.
I don't know, it's just really hard to remember.
Bucky takes a slow, deep breath through his nose and looks away while he tries to remember.
Unfortunately, Bucky had nasal problems and he admitted it.
He can only remember!
Let me finish!
No! But nothing too specific.
You're terrible!
Fuck you!
No!
Shakes his head slightly. I can't remember, he admits. I think someone was trying to catch me. They wanted to do something to me, but I can't remember what it was.
You're just sure they were trying to catch you and make you become a catcher?
Oh no, they were trying to catch him and then do things to him. I know it would have been real bad. Getting a weak look, he shakes his head again with a pitiful sound. I can't remember anything else. I'm sorry I woke you up. Steven makes a soft, sad sound.
Nah.
Reaching up his other hand, he cups the side of Bucky's face. Aw, Buck, it's okay. You got nothing to be sorry for, he promises. Then he leans in. Bucky stops breathing. He dives. Oh my god, he's dead! Eyes widening. Because what is Steve doing? Is he going to kiss him? For a second, he thinks that's what's going to happen. But then Steve just pulls him into another hug. It's still a comforting, relaxing gesture. And it's still Steve's arms wrapped around him. And Steve holding him close. And Steve's smell enveloping him. So Bucky tries to not to feel too disappointed by the outcome. What used to help you get back to sleep after a bad dream when you were a kid? Steve asks. Bucky snorts against his shoulder. Getting my mom to check under my bed for monsters. He jokes dryly. There's a pause. And then Bucky can hear the smile in Steve's voice when he asks, you want me to do that for you? No, Steve. I definitely don't.
I really do.
But it gets a tiny chuckle from him all the same.
It's Wolfboy's turn.
Here we go. Let's see how badly I butcher this.
Butcher.
Steve exhales a small chuckle in kind, and they go silent. Steve-O turns out to have been thinking, because then he pulls back again and says, all right, I got an idea.
Hey, David, you know you're going to have to stop playing Dying Light at some point.
Well, of course.
Like,
no,
now.
No, because you probably won't make him.
It's not my turn.
Your turn is coming up imminently, Dave.
And well, okay. Your turn.
Square on the
block. Then I will do my thing.
Sing, sing.
Is it my turn? Am I on P39?
No! Just stop playing! Nobody else is playing! If you're gonna game, at least don't do it on your PC so I can't yell at you!
Hey, I'm playing with something else right now.
Sure! That's fine!
I can't understand a thing you're saying, Steve.
Something like that.
Can't understand what you're saying!
Alright, I got an idea. Lie back down with your back to me.
No!
Yes.
Oh, this suddenly got real kinky.
I still don't see you leaving, though, so you're not jacking it.
Maybe not right now, but you could stealth jack it.
Oh, I stealth jack it all the time.
Dude, me too. It's fucking great.
What the fuck did this devolve into?
Stealth jacking?
Just trust me, Steve says, smiling. Not gonna shove you off the bed or anything. I'm serious. Just lie down and face away from me. Try to get a little closer to one side so I have at least a little room. This is your way of trying to manipulate your way into sharing the bed with me.
Your way. Your way?
Your way. Your way. Your way.
First drink.
No.
Low
you
whack.
Didn't make a mistake.
Huh?
You didn't make a mistake.
I thought I did. Oh, at least I'm drinking something good.
I'm drinking because I feel like it. I don't have a problem. You have a problem. Dave, get out of the game.
I didn't.
Bucky mutters jokingly, but he does as he's told. Inside, his heart is now racing a mile a minute. I can't even do the math for that right now.
It's quick.
It's 2.2 kilometers.
That's pretty far, man.
A mile a minute?
Yes.
Actually 60 miles an hour, actually.
Yes.
And parsecs is a method of time.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Resting his head. It's evidence that George Lucas doesn't know shit.
That is like understatement of the decade.
I don't know about decade. It is an understatement.
Resting his head back down on the pillow, he gets comfortable again, feeling the dip in the mattress as Steve squeezes himself onto the small bed and lies down on top of the cupboard. Bucky's about to ask what he's up to when he feels Steve-O pressing the tips of his four fingers into Bucky's.
It doesn't say Steve-O. Ooh,
that's the whole
I know
point.
Dave Steve-O.
To but Bucky. It's funnier to insert Steve-O into this clearly uncomfortable position for him.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He is afraid of dicks.
I'm not! I'm just done. I'm done. I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm not going to contradict.
That's a damn lie.
I'm just... I'm done.
Damn lie. You know, it's a sin to lie. You're a sinner. You're going to hell.
Fuck off, Prips.
Fuck off, Prips.
No, it's Fukoff.
Get it? Because I'm gothic.
When he feels Steve pressing just the tips of his four fingers to Bucky's nape and lightly dragging him down his spine,
this
Bucky
story
jolts just the tiniest bit as his eyes flutter shut and a soft, surprising little
moan. Wait, did you say Fluttershy?
No.
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
Nobody said
to
that.
I said Fluttershy.
Steve, I'm so Fluttershy. Angry I could dizz cream.
Steve chuckles from behind him. Some people, this tickles too much for them to stand it. Steve explains gently as he starts to run the tips of his fingers aimlessly along Bucky's back, up and down his sleeved arm,
up and down
over his shoulder,
down, up and down,
up and down,
up and down, up and down.
Oh my god.
And along the side and back of his neck.
Oh,
Bucky's skin is covered in goosebumps. Every few seconds, Steve's fingers trail over a spot that makes him shiver.
With anticipation!
It! And it's so relaxing that it has him going boneless against the mattress.
Boneless? What?
That's a weird way of saying limp.
He pulled out all his bones.
Fucking Mortal Kombat fatality, that guy. Rip the skeleton clean.
And feeling half out of it in no time.
He's filled with determination and not bones.
Well, no. He had no bones.
He's filled with boner.
No bones.
Boner nation.
That's why I'm saying just one. It's not multiple. Just one.
No boners.
Just one.
No boners.
No boners. Just boner.
No boners.
Back when I was little, my ma used to do this to me if I was sick or had trouble sleeping, Steve says. Bucky's eyes open, staring ahead, heart still going crazy, he whispers. This is one of those times when you really miss her. Or this one of those times when you really miss her. Damn it. Yeah, Steve replies, softly, lightly. He always gets a little sad when remembering Sarah. But he lost her so long ago that he's able to talk about her without sounding weighed down by it.
Man, this got morbid fast.
Way to go, Steve, ruining the mood.
I'm sorry!
Steve-o.
Shut up!
Mostly, his tone is just filled with incomprehensible love. Bucky wishes he could have met her. She died before he and Steve-o became friends. Where was I? Okay. Bucky stares ahead, suddenly thinking about lots of things.
All the things.
Everything. He has Steve lying so close to him and touching him like this, trying so hard to soothe him and lull him back to sleep. He feels overwhelmed, chest tight. He also remembers the first time Steve ever opened up about his mother. Regaled Bucky with stories, memories from when he was a boy. All the way
when
up
I was
the
a boy, we used to walk uphill to school both ways in the snow, and we didn't have any bones.
You just had one. You had to work a day to earn your bones. It was the first time Bucky had ever seen Steve cry.
It's really hard to imagine Steve-O crying. Just,
it's not.
I don't have any tear ducts. They've all migrated to my beard.
No, it's tears of joy.
Steve-O is strong and brave and generous and kind and perfect. Wow, Steve. Way to write yourself in the fanfiction.
I didn't write this. I totally know.
I did not!
I did not do it! It's bullshit!
It's bullshit!
And perfect. And everything Bucky is not. So he's not the Winter Soldier. Steve-O, he whispers, fingers against his back still for a moment. But then they pick back up again as the blonde whispers back. Yeah?
Yeah. What about
it? I'm sorry, Bucky forces out. There are tears in his eyes, but he's not about to let himself cry. Nor will he let Steve-O know his eyes are wet.
Wet with anticipation.
Wet with determination.
Wet That's with boner.
Every single fan of Undertale is wet with determination.
He needs to get this out. I'm sorry that you've always been so open with me, and I haven't been. You told me all about your life growing up. You've talked to me about your mom a bunch of times. You've trusted me with so much, and yet I've hardly done the same. Opened up to you about much of anything. Do you hate me sometimes for being the way I am?
You are such an idiot!
He's being a drama queen.
Fucking seriously!
I'm just waiting
for... You didn't have to be so mean!
Just waiting for the chapter, and it's like, and Bucky put his penis in Steve's butthole.
Alright, can y'all finish? If you're gonna put it in my butt, let's at least get it over with.
Yeah, you finished.
Alright, it's done. David's turn.
I got to the end.
David.
My turn. P39, right?
No.
Everybody's drinking tonight.
God. 41.
Right?
41.
I was close. Steve-O's fingers are halfway trailing up Bucky's right arm now, and this time they do come to a full stop.
Full stop, Maggie. Everybody out.
Becky.
Off the bus.
End of the line.
Becky, I could never hit you.
Why is
that going to hurt you?
Wait.
I can never be upset with you for not wanting to talk about things in your past that have hurt you.
Why am I Cartman?
I want to help or be there to listen if you ever need someone. But Buck, you are the most amazing people I've ever met. You're so much stronger than you give yourself credit for. No. I don't ever hate you. You don't need to say sorry, okay?
Do you want a Fanta?
The Fanta? No, he doesn't want a Fanta. Not tonight, anyway. He's got a headache. Bucky closes his eyes, frowning deeply. He wishes that were true. Steve-O's just too good-hearted to see the truth of things. Lying, he simply answers, Okay. Steve-O says then, going back to lightly caressing Bucky's shoulder and neck with his fingers. Bucky can't help but sigh softly and go a bit more lax. A few minutes later, somewhere between consciousness and sleep, he feels Steve slip his hands at Bucky's shirt so he can continue tracing random lines along his back. Skin on skin. His lips part and he moans again softly, unable to remember the time when he felt this peaceful. A thing in the world that didn't feel more perfect than Steve-O touching him so preciously, even if for reasons that are nothing like Bucky's own.
Earlier,
both fast asleep, Bucky still curled up on the same side, and Steve, legs too long and feet hanging off the edge of the bed, but one arm slung over Bucky's side.
Oh, that's a drink.
Bucky's brain feels a little fuzzy. He wakes up Monday morning.
So it takes him a few prolonged seconds, to realize that he's not alone in his bed. The details of the middle of the night return to him in fragments. At first, all he feels is a steady exhale of hot breath against his neck, which gets his eyes flying open and brows creasing immediately. He freezes as he slowly lifts his head to look down at his body, There's an arm hanging over his side.
Ah, he cut off somebody's arm and slept with it!
Thang! Holy fuck! Steve-O? Why is Steve-O in bed with him? Then everything returns to him all at once, and rather than feeling thrilled, it makes Bucky panic.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!
He sits up so quickly that Steve is jostled awake. He hears a sharp inhale and a little sleepy sounds as his best friend opens his eyes to look at him and slurs,
"Heck, you okay?"
"Yep, fine. I'm totally fine." Bucky answers far too loudly. Wait, no, if that's the case, "Yep, fine. Totally fine." Bucky answers far too loudly, swinging his legs off the bed and practically leaping out of it. He can hear movement from behind him, guesses that Steve-O has pushed himself onto his elbow and staring up at him, probably confused and disoriented. He doesn't really know where to go now that he's out of bed, which is awkward, considering that he's moving as if driven by some sort of directionless purpose at the moment. Turning back to Steve-O, it's hard to get words out, but he forces himself to ask, Listen, we didn't do anything, right?
Because it's not like I like you or anything and would love that, but I'm totally pretending that I don't.
It's not like I was putting my butthole for you or anything.
He's 99% sure they didn't, but he can't be completely certain that there aren't details he is still missing, like Rufalin.
All right. Steve definitely does look confused now. Then he realizes he'd fallen asleep in bed with him and his eyes widen. Oh no! No, don't worry. You just had a nightmare, that's all.
Was!
Damn it!
Yeah.
Taste the rainbow of fruit pain.
I did!
Good.
You just had a nightmare, with all. I was trying to get you back to sleep and I guess I fell asleep, too. Frowning apologetically, he gets off of the bed and stands. He's frowning, staring off, and Bucky finds it unnerving. He also feels a little shitty for making the whole thing sound as awful as he must be making it seem. God, he's such a drama queen. Especially if Steve feels the need to say sorry for it. Perfect, Buck. Make it seem like the possibility of you two actually doing something like that together freaks you out. It definitely sends a terrific message. Attaboy, genius. Keep it up. The thing is, I can imagine Homestar saying it as a legitimate coaching to himself. I mean, you know, not that it would have been mad or damn it, shit.
Damn it, shit.
Don't spit it on the keyboard.
I've gone through too many. I've developed a reflex now.
Wait, for what? Swallowing?
I mean, you know, not that I would have been mad or nothing if we had, Bucky says, trying to save face. That doesn't sound right coming out either, though. Feeling flustered, he shakes his head, closing his eyes before quickly trying again. Fuck! Not like that, I mean. Not like I would have freaked out if you said yes. Okay. None of this is how I mean it to sound. Relax, Buck. It's fine. Steve interrupts him.
Doesn't work.
He gives Bucky a tiny, almost tired-looking smile, yet it doesn't strike Bucky as the kind of tired you feel when you've just woken up. It seems to be something deeper than that, but Steve's voice is without judgment when he continues,
I know what you mean, don't worry. Sorry again for crashing with you last night. It won't happen again.
He turns and kneels to the floor to deflate the air mattress. Ew. Gross!
What?
And get it put away before any of Bucky's family can come walking in. Bucky just keeps staring at him, frowning so hard it's actually growing uncomfortable. Things never really feel awkward between him and Steve, but it certainly feels that way now.
Because he made it that way?
And Harry Potter's also kind of effeminate.
Also, his breasts are really showing.
All because Bucky couldn't handle things with just a bit more calmness. Not wanting to dig the hole he's in any deeper, he excuses himself quietly and leaves the room to go brush his teeth. He spends an hour or so... What?
With Dick.
With Dick. Okay, yeah, sure, that works. He spends an hour or so of the morning sitting out on the deck, rubbing the dick out of his mouth, taking advantage of the sunshine, and giving himself a bit of quiet time while he burns through a few cigarettes, which he calls dicks. He doesn't know how to feel about what happened, also dicks in the middle of the night dicks. There had been so many dicks moments when he felt really dicky, certain that Steve was going to kiss his dick. Or at the very least, that if Bucky took the plunge on his dick, Steve wouldn't fight him on it on his dick. Fuck. He remembers Steve calling him baby dick again.
Never. Never call somebody baby dick.
Yo, baby. I want to believe that all the dicks would just have built up for that intentionally.
If he just asked Dick about it or put it out in the open like his dick, things could be a whole lot dickier. Except that's the only truthful dick on paper. In reality, opening the dick to that conversation would just as likely, if not more likely, make dicks between them super awkward. This really hurts.
I'm just in silence, like, listening.
Steve would most likely have to find a dick way of letting him down. Tell him that he loves dick, just not in that way.
Dick way.
Establish the very deep dick set between them, and that dick's name would most likely be Friendship and nothing more. Then how could Bucky ever expect things to be the same between Dick? He couldn't. It wouldn't be dickable. Bucky can't dickable. Risk throwing away 5 years of dick.
Such a strong, solidified
dick at that. Over confusion he's felt in the last three dicks. He told himself that he needed to dick. What's fact and what's fiction? And their dick? Steve has...
It's what's fact and what's diction.
Steve-o.
Steve having feelings for dick? That's all fiction. Bucky's been acting like a penis.
You don't think he's...
Throwing away 5 years of dick sounds like, ladies, you're tired of your dick. It's been 5 years since you...
Hey, Manny, it's your turn.
Oh, no.
You can do it. You can
damn
do
it, Steve. In everything. You're not supposed to put your dick in everything, Steve.
I couldn't help it. It's just dicks.
Okay. With that in mind, he gathers enough courage to put out his smoke, hidden inside with an apology ready to give to Steve. However, when he gets inside, Steve's sitting on the couch with Annie on his right, Rebecca on his left, and his dick in the middle. Amy in his left. Oh,
are
God
we continuing the dickable?
I'm going to try.
No, you don't have to try. Just, you know what? Only intersperse one dick, because I think I dicked around enough to kill it for everybody.
Yeah. Just overuse the dick.
Dicked it all up.
I dicked it all up. All the dicks are dicked up.
Amy in his lap and a photo album in his hands. Steve looks over to Bucky and breaks out into that usual grin. And Bucky's just gone and forgotten everything he's just been thinking about. All those dicks.
That's the only dick you get. Any more dicks and you drink for the dick. Okay, fine. I'll be lenient.
I'm just thinking about drinking dicks. That's all. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind me whipping out some of the oldies, honey. And he says, Amy giggles and points to whatever pictures on the page. And they all chuckle. Ho ho. Annie's, they're, wait, oh, sorry. I'm just kidding. Annie's smile is nostalgic.
Bucky doesn't know which photo they're staring at, but he knows they're all of him. That album is nothing but his pictures. As far back as when he was 8 years old, the age he'd been when the Proctors adopted him and Becca. You look adorable in these, Buck, Steve says, even fondly. He flips to the next page and gets the toothy grin, whatever his eyes fall to. Bucky shifts uncomfortably. He's perfectly fine not looking through all those.
You were such a cute kid. When exactly did that go wrong? Rebecca teases.
Yeah, okay there, booger. But Bucky snaps back. At least there's no baby photos of me in any of those albums. You want me to show Steve all those amazing photos of you with a mullet? Rebecca smiles, vanishes. Yeah. How about the bow cut, he asks Ness. Hey, Steve, want to see my sister with a mullet?
Hey, or Steve.
A bowl cut? Shut up, you jerk! Rebecca hisses, getting off the couch. He gives him a light shove as she stomps into the kitchen to get a drink and probably try and drown herself in it to drink. Steve just tips his head back and calls after her.
I had a bowl cut too, Bex. It's okay. Embrace your inner loser. She was beautiful, Annie insists, cutting in, giving Bucky a stern, motherly look. She scolds him. Be nice to your sister, James.
He started it.
And you're 7 years older than her, she reminds him. Yeah, James!
Rebecca pipes back in smugly, her head popping into sight from around the corner.
Be nice to me, Rebecca Marie!
Annie sighs with exasperation. Oh.
Ha! You got two names!
Bucky steers back. Rebecca smiles sweetly and gives him the finger.
Okay.
Appropriate siblings. Bucky just mimes catching the gesture and sticking his pocket, looking touched.
I like this one, Steve says out of nowhere, reminding them all that he and Annie are still there.
Flipping the book around, he holds it up to Buck so Bucky can see what he's referring to.
God, this is so exciting.
Oh, yeah.
It's from when Bucky was about, I don't know, 9-ish or something, taken here at the college, actually. Is sitting at the tire swing they've long since gotten rid of. In his bathing suit, his nude bathing suit, his brown hair had been much shorter than in the photo. It's damp like it's damp with lake water. Bucky can't remember what had gotten him laughing as hard as what? Sorry, oh damn it, Ma. Bucky can't remember what had got him laughing as hard as he was when the camera went off, but he's. Kid self looks ecstatic.
Can almost hear me, you laughing when you look at it like that, Steve tells him, turning the book over so he can see it again. See? That's your big brother, who is just a few years older than you, he tells Amy, who giggles and tries turning the page. You look so happy in it, Buck, he murmurs, turning his baby blues back up to him and smiles softly.
Bucky blushes as hard as he tries not to.
Annie looks between them and then suggests, well, I actually have a second copy of that picture framed in our room back home if you want this one.
Oh, geez, now his mom's getting all close.
Really? Steve asks. Oh, no, Mom. It's okay. I'm sure Steve doesn't want. Thank you, ma'am. I love it. I love jerking off to baby pictures.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Out there. Steve says enthusiastically. Then he catches himself and says to Buck, I mean, if you're all right with that. If you're right with me jerking off to your baby pictures. I guess so? Bucky replies, unsure of what to say. Sure, he supposes he doesn't mind, really. The fact that Steve would even want a picture of him like that is a sweet sentiment. It's just, why? It's not like he'll actually keep it once the week's over and they headed back to New York, back to reality, right?
Oh, there goes gravity.
God damn it.
If he does... What exactly is Bucky supposed to make of that? Bucky's given him permission to keep that picture.
Strumming his pain with your finger one time.
This is the story of his life since they've been there. It only leaves Bucky even more confused. In the early evening, Steve catches Bucky checking his work emails from his phone again. This time, he isn't as willing to overlook it. Tell me. You haven't been working while we've been here, he says from over Bucky's shoulder, startling the brunette.
That's Brunette.
Yeah, that's Brunette. He hadn't even heard Steve come into his room. Bucky trips over his words. Damn, the shorts he's wearing now don't have pockets, so he has nowhere in which to make his iPhone miraculously disappear. Yes, okay? Yes, I have. Bucky huffs. Steve shakes his head with an incredulous chuckle. So Bucky exclaims, you don't know my boss. The place is called Pierce. Place is called Pierce, Lucan, and Schmidt. Oh. Why was only one of those words italicized?
He just got lazy.
Keep reading.
His name is Wright. Oh, okay, I gotcha. Is right there in the fucking company branding. He's a big deal.
He's kind of a big deal.
Me to handle the shitty little details. Mm-hmm. You're on your vacation. Bucky, that's what vacation time is for, to get away from his phone.
No.
From work. All right,
to get away from foam and fun.
To get away from work and work-related stuff. Thanks. Oh, no. Tips. You want to write that one down for me? Sighing, Bucky looks back to his phone. He won't stop forwarding me all these emails from his clients. What am I supposed to do? Just not answer them? Yes.
Yes.
What if he fires me? Steve considers that. Okay, fine. Is he paying you for all this work he's sending you to do during your week off? Well, I mean, no, but yeah, I didn't think so. Stuffy. You're not a doormat, Bucky. So stop letting him treat you like one. Before Bucky can react fast enough, Steve's grabbing his phone from his hands and getting off the bed. Alarmed, Bucky jumps to his own feet.
Also, I would really like to be getting off right now, but I can't.
Give that back, he says warningly, holding his hands out. No, Steve answers simply. If I give it back, you're just gonna tell me that you won't be doing any work when you totally will be. If you won't let yourself enjoy your time here and just focus on relaxing and spending time with your family, then I'll make you have no choice. You need a break, Buck.
Break, Buck.
Next is Wolf Boy.
Come on, this ain't funny, Bucky says.
Come on, this ain't funny.
I got a pretty looking mouth here. He tries to snatch his phone back.
I can't imagine the Winter Soldier ever saying, get her done.
Alternate universes.
Yeah, you never know. Russia could be big fans of the Larry the Cable Guy.
But Steve just steps away and holds it out behind him. The worst part is, he knows that Steve's completely right. He does need a break because Pierce is driving him crazy. And he is being taken advantage of. I almost brain corrected that. Bucky knows he is, but he doesn't know how to turn that switch off. How to let himself lift some of those responsibilities from his shoulders and put them aside for just a short while. So he tries to lunge for it again. Steve, I'm serious. Fucking give it back.
No!
Give it back to me, you boho!
No, this is my penis. Stop it.
No!
Nope. Sorry. You're grounded. No phone privileges. But Mom! Steve!
Give me back my
goddamn phone!
I told you to get her done!
We're done! For the proletariat!
At the behest of the bourgeoisie!
No!
You might Jesus be a Christ member of the bourgeoisie if you rule the class and according yourself as such. That's Jeff.
That was really bad, dude.
That joke kind of fell flat, David.
Fuck you!
Just like my penis! Wait, what?
Take my break and go elsewhere!
Jesus Christ, Steve!
Ow, Jesus Christ!
His chest is pushed up to Steve's now. Their face is dangerously close as Bucky keeps trying to reach around him.
Dangerously sexy.
As Bucky keeps trying to reach around him and grab his phone, Steve keeps putting up a struggle while they bicker back and forth over each other, just like an old married couple. His fingers only just graze it, and Bucky thinks he's almost got it when Steve quickly maneuvers his hand between them and in a blink of an eye.
Are they still fighting over the goddamn phone?
Yes.
Something like that, Steve. I'm not sure.
And shoves Bucky's phone into his own shorts. Steve looks as if he'd acted before he even thought about it properly. They both look down to the front of Steve's shorts.
Whoa.
All right, I can reinstate the dick rule now.
It's only now that it sinks in just how close to Steve's dick they both are.
If you have trouble with it, just do it very sparsely. Also, please stop licking me right now, Precious. It's going to make me feel awkward.
Stop licking me while I'm boner.
She's been licking me for the past 10 minutes.
You've had a boner for the past 10 minutes?
No! No!
I could hear that yell as loudly from Discord as it was from downstairs.
Slowly, they both look back up at the same dick. Time. And fuck dicks. Steve's lips are only inches from his dick.
Stop saying dick.
Steve's baby blues jump back and forth between his eyes, his expression impossible to decipher. Bucky's mouth suddenly feels bone dry. You want it? Steve says slowly. Go get it. There feels like there's no air left in Bucky's lungs. His chest is suddenly really hot beneath his shirt as his gaze drops down to Steve's mouth. Steve's own eyes seem to lower to his as well. And then it feels like Steve's starting to lean in just an inch. So, of course, that's when Becca walks into the open doorframe, clearing her throat.
Of course! Of course!
Of course!
Of course. Or if it's Final Fantasy VII, it's off course.
Bucky's 5 feet away in the blink of an eye.
Blink.
Even Steve looks frazzled, straightening quickly. What the fuck? He had actually been leaning in and looking at the floor for a moment, brows slightly creased. Bucky blinks, his heart ready to pound right out of his fucking chest as he tries to push
fucking
down
kiss him already!
Oh, too bad, sister walked in.
Can't have the gay shit.
As he tries to push down the adrenaline that just been coursing through him. And it's like that look on Steve's face is gone in a split second, flat. Now he's smiling politely at Rebecca and asking, what's up? First of all, gross, she jokes, looking between them. Bucky can't help but notice that she seems to narrow her eyes a bit when she regards Bucky. But then she points her thumb over her shoulder and says, Amy's absolutely insisting that you two read her bedtime story tonight. So you two should probably go do that, you know, before she throws a tantrum or something. Okay, Bucky says quickly, already striding past her and towards his little sister's room. Then Mom says it's dinner time, she adds to his back.
Dinner time!
David, you're up.
Hooray, it's my turn now.
I'm P46?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He repeats. All right, cool. Sorry, I'll take it. Amy's brushing her teeth, so Bucky distracts himself from whatever the hell that just was by crouching in front of her little bookshelf and perusing the options.
Back,
he hears Steve say slowly in the doorway. He sounds tentative.
I think we'll go with
Princess Rose and the Golden Bird, okay? Bucky replies, sounding way too cavalier. He pulls out the book on the stands and stands back up, shooting Steve a big, forced smile as he goes over to the bed. Steve just watches him with a little frown. Burr, he tries again. Bucky doesn't want to hear what he has to say.
Look, buddy, what you thought was going to happen back there, it wasn't like that.
So it's nothing short of a miracle that Amy picks the moment to come skipping into the room. Steve looks down at her and gives her a small sigh, doing what he's so used to doing and letting it go.
I was tempted to say,
hey man, the cold never bothered me anyway.
Yuck, yuck.
All right. Hey, what's cooler than being cool? And when they say ice cold, just go, all right.
Precious, okay. I know you like that joke, but you don't need to come lick me again.
Bucky makes sure to keep all of his focus on his sister.
You all right with this one tonight?
He asked her, holding up the book he picked.
Hmm.
She replies, hopping into bed and going straight for the middle. Bucky helps her get under the covers before lying next to her on the left. Her left, propping himself up on his elbow and resting his head against the headboard. She looks over to Steve and curiously, and then beckons him.
Come on!
Oh, no!
Okay, Steve-O chuckles with a small smile. His gaze jumps to Bucky as he approaches the bed, too. But only for a second. And then he does like Bucky did and gets comfortable on her right, also resting his head against the headboard.
All right, Peanut, who do you want to read to you, me or Steve-O? Steve-O,
Bucky asks.
Both of you.
Both, I suppose.
Both of us, huh?
Steve shrugs one shoulder and then reaches across Amy to take the book from Bucky's hand. Looking over the cover, he suggests,
why don't we take turns, each reading a page? That
sounds really familiar.
This is getting into fixception.
She nods eagerly.
Wait.
Okay, we broke one of them.
Okay, all right. I'll start, Steve-O says. Opening the book, he holds it out in front of Amy and turns to the first page. Clearing his throat, he puts on his storytelling voice and begins,
"Many, many years ago, in a kingdom far, far away, there lived a beautiful princess. She had long red hair and loved roses so much that everyone called her Princess Rose. Every evening after dusk, Princess Rose went out on the balcony and clapped her hands."
He glances down at Amy. "Clap your fucking hands." He encourages her. She giggles and does loudly. Smiling warmly, Steve looks back to the book.
"And Hildenberry came flying out of nowhere and alighted on her shoulder. Instantly, the princess's hair began to shine, ablaze with brilliant red light."
They have medicine for that.
He gargled.
Okay. He turns the page and tilts the book so Bucky can get a better look at the text. Bucky reaches out and holds on to the other side of the book. Steve-O's hand still holding up on the right side. Clearing his throat, he continues just as theatrically.
"When the bird started to warble an enchanting tune, Princess Rose joined in and said song, and everyone in the kingdom fell asleep and had sweet dreams to bring it down."
That was kind of awesome, not gonna lie. Alright, I'm gonna do this and then I'm gonna take the dog out to poop because I think that's what she needs to do. Taking turns, they go back and forth.
Back. And back and forth and back and back forth. And forth.
Reading Amy her story. Their commitment gets her giggling and both men smiling. Both at her, at each other, and to themselves. Bucky can't help but focus on Steve rather than the story, wherever his friend takes back over. Whenever. Fuck! It's only been a few days, sure, but Bucky's pretty positive that the way Steve is with children will never be any less precious. No, Precious, I didn't call you in here, I swear! She seriously just walked in when I said that! Damn it! Story, why did you make me call my dog?
Why'd your name be so Precious?
Is it time to go outside?
That's the name she had when we got her. Have such an effort. Effect. Fuck!
You can do it!
Have such an effect on him to see. Steve gets the last page. When he finishes with the end, he shuts the book and they both look down at Amy, only to realize that she's fast asleep. Neither of them noticed her clock out. Well, I mean, she needs to clock out. That's the law. Bucky watches Steve get a gentle, lopsided smile at the sight of her. What? Okay. Bucky chews on his bottom lip and eventually eats it off, trying so hard not to voice what he's wondering.
"You ever want kids one day?"
he blurts out anyways, keeping his volume quiet so he doesn't wake his sister. Steve meets his eyes and then looks off in thought. He maintains his smile as he gives a single nod.
Yeah, one day.
He admits,
"I always wanted kids. I think a boy and a girl. I know that sounds really cliche. Maybe it is. But yeah, that's just what I always pictured while growing up. Doesn't matter how old they are. I think I'd like to adopt a baby one day. Oh, look, the cheat just jumped over some of my buses."
Hooray for the shorts.
"Just so I could have that experience of, you know, raising them that young. Changing diapers, seeing their first steps, hearing their first word, stuff
dick.
Like that." "Stuff like dick. And I think I could see myself adopting a kid that's slightly older, give a kid a loving home who really needs one, you know?"
Bucky's absolutely enthralled with Steve right now. In fact, he doesn't think he's ever loved someone more than what he feels in this moment. Hold on, I'm going to speak for the entire listening audience right now. Just fuck already!
Not going to happen.
You know, once again,
problems in anime.
As pleasant to hear through here than from the basement.
Everybody just needs some good dick.
I just can't even.
It's not gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. I know Steve, it's gonna happen. I cheated.
No, Steve, we have 100 pages to go. How much of this is dicking?
Not very much.
0%.
When he doesn't answer, Steve glances back to him, and all Bucky can do in this moment. Damn it, shit! Oh, fuck! I missed the two line. Damn it!
David, shit, fuck, what?
David, shit, I said, fuck!
Damn it! Not David!
David?
I heard David!
Shit, fuck. I didn't do any of that, Steve.
No! When he doesn't answer, Steve glances back to him, and all Bucky can do is nod lamely, unblinking. Steve chuckles and looks off again.
What else?
He wonders, assuming that Bucky wants him to keep talking.
I just want to be able to jump all of my buses to do all those fun things with my kids one day. Halloween, Christmas, bologna sandwiches, taking them to Coney Island.
Where they can tip over some of your buses.
Shut up a bitch, no!
No, my boy to his first Yankees game, having a little girl. I could be overprotective about.
They both chuckle softly. Steve meets his eyes again, watering from all the laughter. And for a moment, they stay silent.
And what
then
about
they fuck.
And what about shit? And what?
You can do it, Steve. And just you, concentrate.
What about you?
Steve asks.
You want to make kids one day, Kirby?
Bucky's eyes trail down his little sister, and he smiles again. She looks like a tiny little angel who, when she sleeps.
Yeah, he answers. I don't know when, but one day. I don't know how good of a dad I'd make, mind you, but.
A great one!
Steve answers. His eyes don't move from Bucky's face.
The way you act with Amy, with Ben, you're going to be an amazing dad one day, Buck!
Shit! I'm trying so hard!
And you got that's so far.
But at the end, it doesn't even matter.
You too.
Bucky replies shyly. They're staring back at each other from over top of Amy's head, and Bucky finds himself wanting to stare at his best friend's lips again, swallowing and making himself look away again. After a few seconds, he gestures to them and says,
"We should, you know, dinner and stuff."
Okay.
Oh damn it! They didn't.
Fucking kiss.
I expected them.
They aren't going to kiss for a while.
I expected hardcore, ballsy action.
I was going to say, Logan, you shouldn't sound mad. You should sound happy that everybody's suffering.
No.
It's because he's suffering, too.
Yeah. This is true. They get off the bed carefully, and Bucky ghosts a small kiss on Amy's forehead, putting the book back where it came from. They tiptoe out of the room, turning the light off behind them and closing the door most of the way shut. The entire time, Bucky can't help but wonder if this is a slice of what a life like that with Steve Rogers would feel like. It's unfair how much he realizes he'd love to have exactly that one day. Manny, please.
Oh my god.
I'll be back.
I was just looking at the corn porn. I couldn't help it.
Come on, Francis. Let's go do something productive.
All right. 48. Let's see. Things take a terrible turn after dinner's over. Steve and Bucky offer to do the dishes since Rebecca and Ben help their parents cook. His brother and father are in the living room, preoccupied with one of Ben's many games. Rebecca's still sitting at the dinner table, her eyes stuck to the screen of her iPhone, while Annie's making herself a hot chocolate and conversing with them. Steve handles the washing while Bucky does the drying.
Becky's so wrapped up in conversation, mind distracted, that he doesn't even realize that he's pushed up the sleeves of his shirt to his elbows. The scarring all over his... The scarring all over his left arm is out in plain sight. Steve notices and luckily makes him aware of this before his mom can notice. Buck, he mutters under his breath. When he looks at Steve curiously, the blonde tips his chin down a bit, and Bucky's focus follows it. He sees his exposed arm and immediately burns red. Shit! He whispers under his breath. Pulling his sleeves back quickly, Pulling his sleeves down quickly, he casts Steve a tight, apprehensive look and replies, "Thanks." Steve must assume that if Bucky feels the need to hide his arms even around his family, it must be because it's a sensitive topic for all of them. Every one that Annie tries to bring up whenever she happens to catch a glimpse of Bucky's actual arm. They both be good and accurate guesses on his part. They're just about done putting the last couple of glasses away when Bucky realizes that Rebecca's been staring at them. The way she's looking, Bucky's suddenly wondering how long she's had her eye on them like this. It's unnerving. She's definitely thinking something, but Bucky can't figure it out. Bucky says, "How come you two haven't kissed in front of us yet?" she's asked bluntly. The blood practically drains right out of Bucky's face. "I mean, it's been like 3 or 4 days, and yet you haven't kissed, like, not once at all. Sure looked like you two were about to earlier, but you'd get all weird when you saw me," she says strangely, like something isn't sitting right with her. It's the bulge. "We've kissed," Bucky lies. "Yeah, sure you have," Steve chimes in. "Oh, sure we have, damn it. Yeah, sure we have," Steve chimes in, throwing on that easygoing smile while he dries his hands with the rag. "Just not something, you know, we make a point of fun in front of family. Especially not when they've just met me," he adds, laughing. "So we are worried about showing us PDA, that phone thing we don't care about, because you don't want to make us uncomfortable?" Rebecca asks carefully, as if jumping all over that. All over that thing. Becky was a, "But damn it!" Bucky narrows his eyes, screaming, "Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up, Becky! Oh my god!" But unfortunately, she doesn't want to hear it. Shrugging casually, she looks to Annie and says, "I wouldn't feel uncomfortable by it. Would you feel uncomfortable by it?" "Not at all," Annie says. Bucky wants to groan and cover his face. "Not helping, Mom! Not the time!" "I mean, so long as it's still appropriate." "Oh, God, Mom!" "Oh, no, wait, no. Oh, God, Mom!" Bucky finally groans, mortified. "See, it's fine," Becca says. "You two can kiss each other in front of us. You don't always have to be so far apart. Seriously, Buck, you look like you're terrified of him touching you half the time."
Wait, what?
Who's next?
Oh, he's done. Just got back. I didn't know he was done.
He's done. Okay.
Logan, you're good. Logan.
I found it. Bucky suddenly recognizes that look. It's another one she learned from him. It's that challenging one. The one that says, "I'm on to you.
I'm on to you, Steve. I know what you do when you lock your doors."
Oh, the corn.
Ah!
Is she on the fence again about the validity of their story? Has Bucky really been keeping too much distance between him and Steve? With a sinking feeling in his gut, he knows that he has, in his attempt to spare his own heart. But now, it's clearly made him look unconvincing. If Becca makes him, she'll never let him hear the end of it. Yes, Bucky put himself in this position, but that just makes him more desperate not to be found out. So he rolls his eyes and snaps, "Jesus, fine."
So he rolls his Royce.
All the Royces.
Before closing the space between him and his best friend, he places the world's quickest peck on his lips, not even with enough time for Steve to even press his mouth back. Then Bucky's leaning right back away again, looking to his sister with exasperation. "Hey, Mom, I'm totally kicking Dad's butt. Check this out," Ben calls from the living room. "Honey, we're grounding Ben."
"The little shit beat me in video games,"
Mark jokingly adds. Annie laughs, completely oblivious to Bucky's current plight, and leaves the room, leaving him alone with Becca, the judge.
Jury.
Before he can find an excuse for her to stay. His sister watches their mom leave before looking straight back to them and exclaiming, "What was that? What sort of kiss was that? That was like the way you kiss your grandma. That wasn't a kiss, Steve. Was that a kiss? Kiss him. Kiss him. Kiss him.
Please!"
Not knowing what to do.
Kiss him, Steve-o.
Steve holds up a hand in Rebecca's direction and cuts in, saying, "Okay, okay, calm yourself."
Calm your tits.
Dryly.
Colleen.
What? Chuckling dryly. He shakes his head, the one to lean in this time, and close his eyes as he presses an innocent kiss to Bucky's mouth. Bucky's eyes flutter shut the second the kiss makes contact, a startled sound getting caught in his throat before he breathes in softly through
potatoes. Nose.
It's stiff at first, done purely for show. Bucky can feel it because he's just as guilty of that as he is. But then a couple seconds pass. Shut up. Jesus fucking Christ. And neither of them does anything different, but something shifts. Bucky doesn't know what it is exactly, but suddenly the tight purse in their lips eases away, and Steve's pulling back just long enough to tilt his face to the other side and suddenly press his lips over Bucky's again, this time softer and intentionally.
Tight purse! He took my purse!
Bucky relaxes against his mouth, the body losing its tension as his mind goes blank. All he knows is the gentle pressure of Steve's warm mouth against his. Steve's soft little exhales washing over his face, and then the feeling of Steve lifting a hand and cradling the side of Bucky's neck, holding him close.
Finally,
in reality, it only lasted 10 seconds or so, but Bucky lost all concept of time. They pull away at the exact same time, slowly. Bucky doesn't even open his eyes for another second. When he does, Steve's looking at his mouth, baby blues, slightly unfocused. Then the blonde's gaze crawls up his face and meets his own, and Bucky looks about as lost as he suddenly feels.
Wolf boy!
Okay, you win. Rebecca says awkwardly, breaking the silence. Bucky had completely forgotten she was still there. From his peripherals, he can see her get up from the table and leave the room, staring back down at her phone, presumably texting her BFF Jill. Sure. They, on the other hand, are still staring at each other. Too much. This is too much, and Bucky cannot do this right now.
He has the constitution of an earthworm.
What?
I know.
You gotta do the horsehouse metaphor. No, you gotta do it.
Actually, Earthworm Jim actually is pretty,
okay, diligent, the constitution, you know, of a not cool earthworm.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Still not earthworm.
This is the one thing he's wanted most for the last 5 years, and he only got it because they had to fake it.
Oh my god!
So the whole progress he made. Yeah, fuck that noise. We're going back to faking it.
I think I speak for everyone when I say, where's the sex?
We just had it. It was tense. It was 10 seconds worth. It was fine.
That's as close as you've gotten for a while. Sex.
In 7 states it is.
Name them.
The states? Okay.
Alabama.
Let's see. There's Bismarck, North Dakota, and Alaska, and Oklahoma, and you can live in Frankfurt and grow in Kentucky home. Salem and Oregon, from there we joined Little Rock and Arkansas. I was got them once.
Okay, yeah, go you win. For something that felt so perfect, nothing has also ever made Bucky feel so broken. He wants to yell at Steve for doing that. He wants to just grab his collar and yank him back in to kiss him again. He needs to call this whole thing off. He can't. He needs to reel himself in and get a hold of himself. He can't.
Can't get a hold of myself. I'm just too a hold of myself.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
Oh, no, no, I don't know why.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
Leave all the snakes alone.
He wasn't supposed to feel this strongly about Steve. Wasn't allowed to. That was the only way to protect himself. One job. He had one fucking job. Don't fall in love with Steve Rogers.
You already loved Steve Rogers
for 5 years. Of all the things he's chosen not to do, that, of course, is the one thing he went ahead and actually did.
part one of the stereotypical rom-com trope, accomplished.
Jesus Christ.
He's gone and done what he absolutely refused to do. And fallen.
David, are you getting emotional over this?
No, I'm literally dying.
Well, Logan, we're all dying.
Yeah.
Just at what rate?
If the Constitution is to be believed.
Exactly.
He's gone and done what he absolutely refused to do and fallen head over fucking heels in love with his best friend. It never seems to feel this painful in the movies, though.
Yes, but in the movies, you also have a soundtrack by Smash Mouth, which is painful in and of itself.
Somebody
won!
Don't you talk shit about
it.
The night of Smash Mouth is the best thing that's ever happened.
Buck, Steve says quietly, still searching his eyes. Bucky can't do this right now. Not here. Not right now. Not with his family in the other room. The walls feel like they're suddenly caving in on him, and oh Christ, he needs to get out of here. Out of there. Fuck.
Fight or flight! Fight or flight! I'm sorry!
Oh Christ, he needs to get out of there. He opens his mouth to croak out an apology, but before he can form any words, his face is going blank, and he's turning around, turning away completely. Fuck!
This is turning me off completely.
Turning me on completely.
Buck, Steve repeats, sounding
more like
and more.
You like
to
fuck?
Fuck. Sounding more and more thrown off by Bucky's reaction, Bucky power walks out of there like a motherfucker.
The fastest mode of transportation.
When he gets to the stairs, he breaks into a run because he can hear Steve following him. Heading straight for the bathroom, he ducks for cover in there and shuts the door behind him, locking it. Pressing his back to it, he squeezes his eyes shut tight and slides down to the floor, trying to catch his breath through clenched teeth. Sure enough, those heavy footsteps get closer, and Steve knocks on the door as loud as he can without waking Amy from her room down the hall. Buck, Steve calls to him through the door, voice gentle. I just need a minute, Bucky replies on autopilot, trying to will his voice to sound cheery, unfazed. It comes out broken and unreliable anyway. Bucky, please open the door. I just need a minute, Bucky says again, a bit more desperately this time. There's silence on the other side. Bucky isn't sure whether he's left or not, since he didn't hear any footsteps. But if Steve is on the other side, he stays quiet and gives Bucky a space for a few minutes. Bucky spends
here, take my face.
All of my rage.
Bucky spends those with his head in his hands, thoughts crashing around and smacking into each other in his head on fucking turbo drive.
It's almost like blast processing.
Get one of them TurboGrafx 16s!
All while he tries to control his breathing.
Breathe! Breathe! Live, damn you!
After a while, Steve tentatively tries to speak to him again. Bucky, can you please let me in? Please?
No, I'm sorry!
Inside your butthole. I want to be inside your butthole.
David, it's your turn. Let me in.
This got real depressing real quick.
Welcome to 90 sitcoms.
52.
51.
Oh, I was close.
Did you say 82?
Did 52.
Oh, I did say 82.
Spelled F-Y-5-2. All right. I'm sorry, Steve-O, Bucky says, staring up at the ceiling. Tears now rolling down his cheeks. Just please, I don't know how to finish that sentence. I put your phone on the shelf in your closet, Steve-O tells him. Do you want me to get it for you? Maybe talking to Tasha or someone back home can help or something. Bucky feels so awful. He knows Steve's desperate to help him in some way right now, but he just can't. He can't give Bucky what he wants. And Bucky knows it. It'll only make things worse if he comes clean about it.
At least somebody's coming!
Bucky just wants a hot dicking.
You might be better off talking to Natasha or Mark Ruffalo.
I like Mark Ruffalo.
Is his go-to friend for when he has a problem.
She doesn't know nearly as much about him as Steve-O does, but she's a pretty close contender for second place. But if he's going to have this conversation with her, if he chooses to at all, he wants to be calmed down first.
I feel better in the morning,
he answers. It tastes like a lie.
I just...
He sighs. His voice shakes. Comes out sounding wet.
I need to be alone, okay? Just for a little bit. My mom asked, please just tell her I suddenly felt sick to my stomach or something, please. I'll be fine. Steve, I promise. I just need some time, okay?
It takes a few seconds, but then Bucky can hear Steve sigh on the other side of the door. Okay, Buck, he says ruefully. Let me know if you need anything.
Okay, I will.
He won't. Bucky only ever suffers in silence. This time, he waits until he hears the footsteps get further away and head back downstairs before Bucky crosses his arms over his knees and drops his forehead against them. What the fuck had he been thinking? How did he ever, for one second, assume this would be a good idea? Bucky's never been in love before. And if this is how it feels, the hopeless romantics in the world can take it all for themselves. He'll gladly offer up his share because no one ever warned him of just how much this could hurt. Wanting what you can't have. God. He really does hope you'll feel better in the morning. Or by morning. Even if he doesn't have... even if he doesn't, he'll have to pretend he does. He needs to try a lot harder, that's for sure. How does the saying go? Fake it till you make it? Bucky had come to visit his family this week under the impression that he'd have to fake being in love with his best friend. Now, his only mission is to fake that he doesn't while still acting like he does. If that sounds complicated and confusing, it's only because it absolutely is. In short, Bucky's fucked.
No, we wish he was.
Chapter 4.
All right. Let's see if we can burn through one last round.
I gotta dip. I gotta go to work.
Okay, then we can definitely get through one more round. Bye, Dave.
Woo! Love you guys. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Later, David.
Feliz Navidad.
Funny enough, Natasha wasn't the first person to ever find out about Bucky's crush on Steve. Believe it or not, it had been Tony. The thing with Tony is that for all... Yeah, Tony Stark. Not Tony Sketchlings Tony. The thing with Tony is that for all of his obnoxious behavior and his unfaltering persistence to cover any signs of his big heart with arrogance and quips, the guy is actually a huge softy. He'll be the first one to poke some harmless fun at his friends, but the second anyone else even thinks of doing it, he's their greatest defender. It had been a night back in 2011, Steve's 20th birthday, actually. Tony's always made a point to hold as many of his friends' birthday parties at his own place, since it's spacious and makes for the most luxurious of get-togethers, I'd say.
All of the orgies.
Some of their friends jump all over that. After all, who doesn't love feeling like they get to go to a nightclub in someone's house for free? Not that any of them has ever taken it for granted, mind you, but still. Steve was never like that, though. Despite Tony being a master event coordinator capable of creating a guest list twice as big as the number of friends you actually thought you even had... And making every social event as entertaining as possible, Steve always puts the friends' plans to a gigantic halt. A living room fit for fancy lights and dancing and dozens of guests turns into a mostly vacant space, instead of housing this small group of no more than 10, just sitting around, drinking and watching movies and talking, maybe with music playing quietly in the background. Steve's never needed all of the attention focused on himself. Frankly, Bucky knows he doesn't want it. Bucky can't remember the specifics or what it even was that tipped Tony off. Bucky had probably been staring too much. When he drinks, his inhibitions tend to lower and lower until they're practically non-existent. All those times he just dropped trow and pooped on the table.
Jesus Christ.
Get swifty.
He only holds onto enough dignity to stop himself from opening up completely like Goatsy. When it comes to Steve, that means it's always only ever been by the skin of Bucky's teeth that he'd held... that he's held back from pulling him aside and blurting out, "So hey... I sort of like you." Or even just saying fuck it and kissing him. That could have always gotten the point across, too.
But Tony had seen something that night, and despite his in-your-face personality, he knows Bucky too. Maybe not as well as Steve or Natasha, and even then Natasha only knows so much, but enough to know what's a sensitive topic for Bucky and what isn't. Exposing plot points, exposition, blah, blah, blah.
Something, dark side.
So he deliberately waited until Bucky had been pouring himself another drink to swoop in and get him alone. Bucky hadn't even noticed him walking up because he'd been too busy sneaking glances at his best friend, the birthday boy.
Oh.
Steve was laughing and chatting away with Natasha, Sam, Clint, and Bruce Ebony Darkness Dimension Raven Way.
Damn it! God,
get it? Because I'm gothic. Perhaps it had been the dim lighting or the way the alcohol made Steve's startling blue eyes twinkle even brighter. But Bucky remembers having thought that he'd never looked more beautiful. Hey, Chief, Tony had said, casually reaching for the brandy to tip up his own glass. Bucky jumped. Oh, hey. You having a good time? Yeah, this is great. Thanks again for putting this together. Manny.
Hey.
Manny.
My turn. You didn't say anything.
I said
it's
Manny.
In the story. Well, now I heard it.
I said it five times now. Manny.
Oh, hold on. Wait, okay, got it. All right. let's see. Tony had smiled with a shrug, lifting the glass to his lips and downing a small swig. Bucky was even trying his hardest not to look at Steve, but the damage had been done. Turning to lean against the counter, he was probably a deliberate choice on Tony's part, so none of the others would see his face, or in Clint's case, read his lips while spoken together.
Sam Rogers, huh? How long? A while, I'm assuming?
Bucky remembers his blood feeling as though it suddenly ran cold. Frowning and keeping his eyes down, he shook his head and mumbled back dumbly, "What do you mean?"
Look, I'm not planning on going and telling the guy or anyone. For that matter, it's none of my business.
Tony replied, still speaking nonchalantly, as though they were discussing the weather.
I just felt a warning would be handy just in case you didn't want him finding out. I mean, if you're planning to go and make a move, then just keep looking at him with a lovesick schoolboy. It's cute, honest, but...
He paused, then shooting Bucky a sympathetic look.
Something tells me you have no intention of doing that, so, better I see it before he does, right?
Bucky had his held his gaze for a second, eyes slightly widened, brows creased, lips tight with a frown.
He hadn't known how to answer that. He remembers it left him feeling embarrassed and also confused, and if he admitted to do it, he'd have to open himself up to something, seeing as how selfish a crush like that he was that was for him to have in the first place. If he didn't, Tony would have...
If he didn't, Tony would
know he was lying. He decided to play it safe anyways and stuck to his guns when he finally said, back tensely, "I don't know what you're talking about. It ain't like that.
Bonds, that's nothing wrong with having fit."
"I said ain't that right there, okay?" Bucky had snapped. Having his drink, he set his jaw and declared, "Whatever you think you saw, get out of your head. I don't like Steve like that. Excuse me."
Then "Excuse me, princess."
"God damn it, Steve, I was gonna do that." Danny walked past him and ducked out of the party. He said to leave at the floor. But damn it.
Ducked out of the party to leave that floor
and to go to the one below it. He heading onto the balcony, he lit a cigarette and tried reeling himself back in. He thought about he'd get some privacy by picking the balcony. He did. But a few minutes later, Bucky remembered hearing the door slide open and shut.
"Hey, Buck,"
Steve's comforting voice suddenly said, coming up beside him, his eyes on Bucky's face and assessing the state of his friend. Steve kept his voice light as he asked,
"What are you doing all the way down here?"
"Party's upstairs."
Bucky had given him a tight smile, trying to force it out to reach his eyes. "Just need a few minutes, was all." He looked back ahead of him at the heat at the heart of the city.
Tuck in. From his cigarette while he saw Steve from his peripherals, lean forward and rest his foreheads on the railing. His anal railing. They stared at each other. Steve letting Bucky have his silence. Even if he wasn't in solitude. It's not that Bucky had minded. Not with Steve there. He always found himself one Steve there. Side talking to Stack, Steve eventually said. Breaking the sides after a few minutes. Got a little wry smile at that, though his gaze had stupid folks ahead of him. Then you left! Knew you'd be down here, so excuse myself. Knew you'd done it right. He didn't, like, get to toot Tony on you, did he?
I'm done, Steve.
I know. I'm looking up more pizza porn.
What? Pizza porn. I go away for the chat.
Logan, it's your turn.
Yes, pizza porn. I'm already reading!
Well, you know pizza porn would be nothing without the turtles.
This is true.
With a shrug, lifting the glass to his lips and downing a small swig. Oh, wait, sorry, no, that was, I hadn't scrolled down properly. Shut up, you cuck.
Cuck.
Oh, no, not cock. I said cuck.
Cuck.
Cuck, as in cuckold.
Jesse, cuck me some meth.
As in...
Bucky cuck. Snorted, blowing out more smoke. Takes more than that to get under my skin, Rogers. I was just feeling a little stifled in here and could use the fresh air. How'd you know I'd be down here anyways? He hoped Steve wouldn't go for the obvious question next. How could he feel stifled in a room that large with so much free space? Steve hadn't asked any of that. Turning his head slightly, he just smiled warmly at Bucky and replied, "Because I know you. I know how you think. It's your party. You shouldn't be missing your own party because I'm being a lousy sport and need to walk away for a breather."
Dying.
You remember Steve shrugging, and then his voice going gentle as he said, "I'd party without you there. Yeah, I love everyone in that room, but I have the most fun around you, you know?" If Bucky continued to breathe, he wouldn't ever be able to remember that fact. Huh? The cigarette burned away between his fingers, but all thought for that had abandoned Bucky's brain because he was too busy staring at Steve like he was lost and didn't know what to do with that comment. All he had been able to do was swallow and quietly ask, "You do? Yeah, you're my best friend. I like having you around." It was like Steve had been waiting for him to say something next, but Bucky wasn't sure what to say. He was too drunk for that conversation. If he opened up his mouth any further, too much was going to come tumbling out, especially with the way Steve was smiling at him like that. Steve had smelled like booze, too. You remember having the fleeting thought, "I wonder how his breath would taste if he was moaning into my mouth."
Okay.
It smells like Cheetos. I just
shut my bottle opener.
Then that thought passed, because one second it felt like Steve was doing the impossible and leaning in, when suddenly it was more the entire floor that felt like it was flipping up beneath him. And an unexpected tightness clenched his throat as his saliva grew hot and sour. And fuck.
Hot and sour fuck.
Yeah. Bucky hadn't even felt sick a moment before.
Are you going to be all right there? No.
But he was going to. But he was going pale and then pale and turning on his heel to race into the house and get to the nearest bathroom before he hurled all over Tony's expensive furniture. Bucky remembers spending the rest of the night with his head half in the toilet bowl at Stark's place, moaning miserably that usual vow that people his age make when they get sick. "I'm never drinking again.
I should have never bought stock in Lucent."
Damn you, Enron!
If he wasn't saying that, he was apologizing profusely, because for the rest of the evening, Steve only left his side to refill glass after glass of water for him, and at one point to head upstairs to tell everyone else that Bucky wasn't feeling well. Steve had missed his own birthday party so he could sit in Stark's bathroom and rub Bucky's back while he puked his guts out. Not once did he seem annoyed with having to do that. In fact, every time Bucky would catch his breath enough to insist that Steve go back and hang with the others, Steve would just chuckle and tell him that it was fine. Everyone apparently understood. it's not like the rest of them had never experienced something like that before, with the exception of Natasha, whose stomach seemed to be a bottomless pit and whom they'd never once seen with a hangover.
I believe that we are ending up with the wolf boy.
Woof.
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 Woof boy.
Wolf bark, bark.
Woof.
Come on, wolf boy.
Bucky also remembers Steve calling them a cab somewhere around midnight and helping Bucky get home. The last coherent thing Bucky can ever remember from that point on was his head pounding and the inside of his mouth tasting something foul, while his stomach churned, but not entirely from the liquor. It had been in part due to do with the fact that he let himself get weak long enough for Tony to catch on to his secret. He was supposed to be better at hiding that shit. He couldn't risk Steve ever finding out. And the only way you can guarantee that a secret absolutely remains a secret is if you're the only one to ever know it. Somewhere in between the ride home and thinking about that, Bucky had passed out with his head on Steve's shoulder. Because he was asleep, Bucky could never remember that Steve spent the remainder of the trip petting his fingers through Bucky's hair. Hair. Damn it. If he snuck a kiss into the brunette's sweaty forehead, onto the brunette's sweaty forehead, too, that was something only he and the cab driver ever had to know. Technically, when it's said that Natasha found out second, it's more accurate to say that she and Sam found out at the exact same time, about 4 months later. In terms of bonds, theirs is very similar to Steve and Bucky's, minus the whole, "and I also pine for you so badly that sometimes I want to die, whereas you just like me as a buddy" thing. Unlike Steve. Who's unlike Steve?
Val?
What?
Yeah. Unlike Steve. Sense. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
What?
Unlike Steve and Bucky, though they've been friends even longer, since high school, actually. Unlike with Tony, in which Bucky had vehemently denied the accusation, Bucky had been the one to spill the beans and offer it willingly to them. Well, okay, he'd meant only for Natasha to hear, but she hadn't known that he was about to go spilling something like that out, which Bucky had done only seconds after striding straight into her dorm room. He'd been so frazzled that he hadn't even noticed Sam sitting at her computer table, lazily dicking around on her laptop.
Proper dicking.
Ha! Dickings!
Thank fucking God it'd been Sam and not Steve himself who'd been sitting there because the first thing out of Bucky's mouth before Natasha could even shut the door had been, "I like Steve!" It'd been more of a shout, really. Why had he been so frustrated that day? Right. It'd been because, yeah, that's it. They'd been grabbing a coffee between classes, making conversation, laughing easily at what the other said, as it always was between them. When some guy behind them had recognized a blonde from a sculpting class they apparently were both in, and Bucky knew immediately that guy swung that way.
His gaydar was off the charts.
You can just tell sometimes, to be honest.
The wig and the pompadour really tell it off.
He'd been friends with Steve long enough to recognize the look people gave him when they also couldn't quite get over how unfairly good-looking he is. Steve just smiled politely and entertained the guy's conversation, but Bucky stuttered.
Steve O'Burped.
I'm going to take a drink for that. But Bucky could sense that Steve was most likely doing it just to not seem like a schmuck. Because he kept shooting Bucky these little side glances, like he felt bad that now Bucky was being treated like a third wheel. And then that's sort of exactly what happened. As they inched their way forward towards the counter, Buddy would not stop blatantly flirting with Steve. The weird part, Bucky remembers, was the look Steve kept shooting his way, almost like he expected Bucky to jump in and say something of the sort. The problem had been that Bucky had absolutely no idea what exactly it was that Steve wanted him to say.
Fuck me!
So he so he'd said nothing at all.
Take your dick and put it in my butthole. We're done.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. Look at that. We got one kiss and questionable intentions about butt fucking.
You know what? We made it a third of the way through, so I'm happy.
Oh, yay! God. It's only a third.
Yeah. We'll be done by the time harvest is ready. Hey, Grandpa, we're going to farm the corn.
Yeah. And the pizza. Don't forget the pizza.
Don't forget the pussy willows.
This has been Friday Night Fan Fiction. Thank you to our guests and everybody in the chat room. I'm going to go cry.
But we're already crying inside, Steve.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fan Fiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanFiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fan fictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fan Fiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Deforestation by Thunder Thoen, and Castlemania 2010 by Ben Briggs. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.